Good evening. This is Classic Films and Dark Humor. Tonight, we're going to talk about Doctor Strangelove and how I stopped worrying and learned to love the bomb. The way I just said that, the bomb, you could have put that to a 90s hip-hop beat. I don't know. In 1964, Stanley Kubrick put out Doctor Strangelove. Multiple characters played by Peter Sellers, George C. Scott, and even, I always got a kick out of his name, Slim Pickens. He has a very interesting moment, shall we say, at the end of the film, but I'm not going to ruin it for you. I encourage you to go watch Doctor Strangelove or How I Stopped Worrying and Learned to Love the Bomb. You have the president, played by Peter Sellers. You have the mad scientist, who's trying to give a salute. I think you know where I'm going with this. Played by Peter Sellers. And then you have the British intelligence officer, also played by Peter Sellers. He was nominated for an Academy Award, didn't win. But, you know, that's like all greats. Doctor Strangelove was very relevant because it tapped into the fear during the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I can remember one year watching it. I think it was the 40th anniversary of it with my grandfather. And he was just laughing. And he kept saying to me, "Hey, isn't that Patton?" And he's laughing, laughing, laughing. And I said, "Does this kind of strike a chord with you?" And he's like, "Yeah, and during the Cuban Missile Crisis, you know, we all thought that's it. We had to know someone with a bomb shelter. The kids knew the dive under the desk." And I thought, okay. And so here in 2018, unfortunately, because certain people have arms of a very... weapons of mass destruction. Remember that term? Yeah, Bush term. Even then, it was relevant, and it's relevant now. Doctor Strangelove, or How I Stopped Worrying and Learned to Love the Bomb. The Bomb! Yeah. But it's interesting because they're racing against time. At the same time, they're trying to make it funny. You know, it shows the sleaziness of the government, which is very, very true. And this is, of course, years before Stanley Kubrick started making Space Odyssey 2001 or 2001 Space Odyssey, you know. But with Dr. Strangelove, he wanted to make a dark satire, and he accomplished that. And there's just some moments in that film, I think some of you have seen it, where they're all fighting and he says, "Gentlemen, don't fight in here. This is the war room." And you're kind of like, ah, this is before laugh tracks. This is before. So you had to make your own interpretation of it. Do I laugh? Do I not laugh? Generally, people laughed because, you know, the whole silliness of that situation. George C. Scott. Every time I say his name, I think of scotch. Elaine Stritch talking about, "I've had my 17th scotch." But with George C. Scott, you know, everyone knows Patton. George Patton and Patton. Patton. I almost said patented. No, I'm under the weather, as you can tell. So, but I'm still carrying on because, you know, the show, well, I can't say it on air because I'm not trying to put, you know, music clips on here or film clips, because then I'll get in trouble. This is just me, a microphone. I like to think of this as like a college course because I always wanted to teach film. And I'm not going to say any ums. That's the other thing. When you win that Oscar, yeah, I'm sure you're shocked. Don't go up there and say Just compose yourself and go, "Whoa." And that's it. That's all you have to say. The late Jonathan Demme, great filmmaker, Philadelphia, Silence of the Lambs, went up and won. Okay, he wins his Oscar for Silence of the Lambs. And he just says, And it's generally understood because he was nervous. But the film swept the awards. That film we're going to talk about next time. Very relevant. 27 years. That film has never lost its shine. Most films win Oscars. They're okay after a few years. They don't hold up as great. But Silence of the Lambs truly holds up because there's always a new audience to discover it. But we're going to take, you know, we're taking away right now from the time that I should be talking about Dr. Strangelove and how I stopped worrying to love the bomb. I think everyone from that cast is basically gone. Well, no. You knew who has a small, I wouldn't even call it a supporting role, because whenever you hear him talk, you know it's him. James Earl Jones, the voice of Darth Vader and the Lion King, is in Dr. Strangelove. He plays, I think, a pilot, because, you know, they're flying around the world. They're circling the world with the bomb, the doomsday bomb. You know, so at any moment, the president could just say, boom, drop it. And they have to. And Slim Pickens has to ensure that it's going to get dropped. And you have to watch to find out, because I'm not going to ruin it for you. That's not my job, to ruin performances. My job is to talk about them and how they still hold their relevance today. There are so many moments in Dr. Strangelove that I'm not going to talk about, because I would encourage all of you to watch it, to watch, to see why even in 2018, after all this crap that we're going through, it still holds up. A film from 1964, basically made during the fear of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And here's some interesting factoids that I did not know until today after reading up on Dr. Strangelove. And I've seen the movie multiple times. And it's one of those films that you have to get ready for. Because it's funny, but you're analyzing certain aspects. Okay, was that what they were thinking back then? But at the same time, you're also led to believe, like with Sterling Hayden, when he talks about precious liquids, you know what he's talking about. He's talking about sperm. We need to, you know, liquidate our precious liquids. We need to protect them. And he's got this cigar, and the camera is looking up at him, and it's so phallic. It's almost like they're looking up at him as they're given a professional. If you don't know what that is, look it up. This performance is not for the young. So if you're under a certain age, don't listen to it. I'm not going to curse today. But, you know, that's the thing with films. The 1960s were the beginning of a new age, because the studio system was about to die. The studio system, which had basically turned Hollywood into, you know, a money-making machine. But it was a censored money-making machine. It wasn't until the late 60s, when the studio system died, that people started, you know, playing around with nudity and language and situations. And thus, we're going to talk more about the golden age of film. The first golden age was in, you know, the early days. And then the second golden age was in the 1970s, when films seemed to take on a new height. It wasn't just about, oh, let's go see this. It's good. Let's go see this because it's something we've never seen, like The Godfather, like Carrie, Apocalypse Now, Star Wars, Jaws, you know, Godfather 2, The Exorcist, Paper Moon, you know. And the way we tie that into Dr. Strangelove is Dr. Strangelove was basically the first. It was the first of its kind in terms of that kind of black satire, so much that it scared people. So the film was originally going to premiere, wait for it, on November 22nd, 1963. I'm not kidding. After JFK was assassinated, Kubrick and them pulled the film. They said, we can't release it now. And they later released it in 1964. It was a crazy time. So here's this film about doomsday. JFK has just been assassinated. And they're going to put that film out. They even, I think the Manchurian Candidate had to be pulled from theaters. They have re-released it because of what happened. And it was a different time. It was a crazy time. Now, Dr. Strangelove, I love some of the names. Of course, you got Dr. Strangelove. You've got Premier Kissoff. Slim Pickens. You got some interesting characters in this film. So, I mean, I can't really say too much about it. Stanley Kubrick loved to shock. But he loved to shock to make you think. Because when you watched a Kubrick film, the first time you watch it, oh, okay, I don't know about this. And you had to watch it repeatedly. So I'm sure those of you who saw Dr. Strangelove the first time in 1964 were like, what? What is this? And then you watch it again. And then you watch it again. And you devour it like a piece of cheesecake, like the Golden Girls. But Dr. Strangelove's relevancy holds up even in 2018. North Korea and all that other mess, Russia. I wonder what Kubrick would think today. Had he lived, he would have been 90 years old this year. This is also the 50th anniversary of A Space Odyssey. But right now we're talking about Dr. Strangelove. The brilliance of it. The humor of it. Because you're on the edge of your seat like the rest of them. You know, they're all... And they're talking about the bomb. And we need to ask him about the bomb. They keep alluding to it. It's one of those films where you look at it and you think, oh my goodness, they were so on the money. And Peter Sellers was known for playing multiple characters. The fact that he did not win an Academy Award is sad. Especially for Dr. Strangelove. You knew who later won an Academy Award for playing multiple characters? Lee Marvin in Cat Ballou. But not Peter Sellers. Is it an injustice? Maybe. But then you look at Peter Sellers, he was not in it for the awards, Kanye West. I think this generation doesn't get it, that it's not about whether you win or lose. It's about being relevant. Someone could win something and they're not still relevant. So it kind of takes away from the magic. And the magic of Dr. Strangelove is so timeless. I first watched it, I think, in college. I had a professor who assigned us all films for social reasons. And someone got Dr. Strangelove and I didn't get it. And they got it, and I heard them read it, and I thought, oh my God, I want to watch that film. I said, I love the characters you just named off, Premier Kissoff. I started hysterically laughing. We all started laughing. My film that was chosen for me was Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which I've seen about a billion times. Katharine Hepburn, no, she's not a lesbian. Spencer Tracy, no, he's not gay. Sidney Poitier, Lilies of the Field right there. He had so many hits that year. 1967, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, To Sir With Love, and In the Heat of the Night. Didn't get nominated for any of them. Sad. And of course, Katherine Houghton, who plays the daughter. Isabel Sanford from The Jeffersons is in it. That was her big, big break right before The Jeffersons. She doesn't hold back the character. It's social commentary. Bea Richards, I don't know if you remember her. She's in it. But yeah, I liked Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, but I didn't get the film that I wanted to really watch and sink my teeth into, which was Dr. Strangelove, or How I Stopped Worrying and Learned to Love the Bomb. You know, the bomb. And they keep suggesting that throughout the film. You know, the bomb. I want to elaborate more on this later because I need to, I'm on the spot and I'm thinking, okay, I need to know the dialogue of exactly what he's saying, or vital fluids. And he's looking up, you know, like I said, with the cigar, and it's so phallic looking. And then, you know, he's talking about basically preserving man because they're all aware, oh, once this thing drops, those in hiding have to repopulate. There is a special song that is played at the end of the film. Watch Dr. Strangelove. See for yourself what I'm talking about. The humor, the madness, or How We Stopped Worrying and Loved, you know, the bomb. The bomb. The bomb. Kind of like something out of Looney Tunes. I always apply that to films, is that theory where Wild Coyote is chasing after the Roadrunner and he falls off the cliff and you just hear that drop. Yeah. Perfect sound effects right there. You could apply that to Dr. Strangelove because eventually it happens. It happens. You see it and you think, oh my goodness, is that what I just ate? It's a big giant buffet. And I think there is a buffet in the movie, in the war room. You got to see it to believe it. So I encourage all of you to watch Dr. Strangelove, or How I Stopped Worrying and Learned to Love the Bomb. Directed by Stanley Kubrick, starring Peter Sellers, George C. Scott, and a whole boatload of shit. I'm your host, Dr. Zeus. Good evening. I will return next time, hopefully sounding a lot better, where we discuss more films. I just sometimes think, well, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this and that. Tomorrow, because it is, you know, Sunday is for family, I'm going to talk about The Godfather and how iconic, how crazy, because that is considered a classic film. That is part of the second golden age of film. Because The Godfather could have never been made in the 1930s. The horse head in the bag. The language. Okay? The shootout. Michael Corleone. In that restaurant. And you're looking at his eyes. And you're watching his eyes. And he's going up and down, up and down, up and down. First of all, you're probably thinking, what is he on? And it's such a great performance. And then, boom! In fact, the Irish cop in The Godfather, the one who he shoots, is in Dr. Strangelove. He is the one who is giving this speech about vital fluids, sperm, and he's got the cigar in his mouth, and they're shooting him from up. So you see his chin, and you see the cigar. Very phallic, very double entendre, suggestive. So, this has been a episode of Classic Films and Dark Humor. If you want me to beef up the humor, call in. Write to me. And also, if you please, if you would, support this podcast. It's important. I want those stars. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. I'm like Lady Gaga. I love the applause. I live for the applause. Oops, I can't say that. Good evening. And watch the film.